think my first words I want to say is fall in love with Jesus. If you will fall in love with Him, you will love His work. You will promote His work in the earth. But I want to tell you, love has a whole lot to do with it. So, there is a scripture. I just want to give a small portion of it right now. And it's in Mark 13 and the last part of verse 37. And Jesus said it. And He said, "What I say unto you, I say unto all." You know what? We can sometimes have individual messages from God. God working with us individually, convicting us. The Lord has been very honest with me about me. Down through my walk with the Lord, He has spoken to me, and I've tried to say it to the congregation different times, in the tone of His voice. When He would be calling for something from my life. And it was always like this, and I cannot imitate it perfectly, but it was in the most tender voice. "Won't you give it up for me?" And every time, I could not say no. And I've been reminding the Lord of some of those things. Everything that God called for out of my life that I said yes to, I've never taken it back. He was so loving and tender to me. And that's how He will be with you. When He calls for something in your life, and it's for you personally, and by the way, these are things I don't get up here and preach and say, you have to do it because I do it. You see, God knows me. He knows you individually. He knows what's in your heart. He knows your personality. He knows your background. He knows things that will affect you or hinder you from making heaven. I don't, but He knows me. Excuse my cough. I have it in the afternoon a lot of times. But I don't put it on anybody else. God knows how to work with you individually. Listen to His still small voice. Don't push it away. Don't reject it. So there are some things that God says to us individually. And then there are some things He says to everyone. And in this particular little verse, the last word is what He says to all. Watch. Now, one of the things that the Lord has said to all many times is what? Watch and what? Pray. Watch and pray. He says that to us all. No matter who we are, personality, or anything, that's what He says to everyone. I'm going to have to ask Trenton if he would go take out the song in the blue book, number 5, and bring it up here to me. Because God does make callings individually. Well, I think the one scripture says, is everybody the eye? Is everybody the ear or the hand? No, it's represented by the whole person or body. And they all fit together. God wants his callings to be fitting. Thank you, Jenny. I'm not just totally sure how this is going to go, but I want to give you this song. The title of this song is If Jesus Goes With Me. It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. It may be I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning desert to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens beyond the billow's foam, I'll prove my faith in him, confess my judgments fair, and if he stays with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. Isn't that precious? Actually, the chorus is about my favorite. If Jesus goes with me anywhere, 'tis heaven to me where'er I may be. If he is there, I count it a privilege here. The rest of it's in there, but count it a privilege to be a part of the work of God in wherever you are, whatever your life, your phase, that phase of your life, count it a privilege that God is working with you and in you and preparing you. I would say 9 times out of 10, he's preparing you for something else. But he's calling for faithfulness in that place, as the message was this morning. Luke 21, verse 34. This is a little message that he says to all. Some of the things we're giving you today is what will be said to every one of us. It's not going to be an individual, unique message. Okay? So Jesus says, take heed lest you be overcharged. Paraphrasing this for the sake of time. Yet lest ye be overcharged with excessive living, which there's another word for that, but that's what it means, and I think it's what we can relate to. Don't be overcharged with excessive living and with the cares of life. Can we relate to the cares of life? One scripture says something happens when we become overburdened with the cares of life. It chokes the word. And what happens when the word is choked? It becomes less fruitful, less effective in my life. It isn't able to speak to me as when I am watching and praying. I want to speak just a little bit about our focus. Our focus on specifically spiritual things. We're in this world, and the scripture says that. And we're just passing through, it says. We're in this world, but we are not of this world. That's where we have to watch and pray. You men, you go out and you rub shoulders with other people. You have to maintain integrity and honor, because we're not in an honorable world. I'm going to testify for my husband. I had a very honorable husband. When he wasn't even saved, I could trust his word. He never lied. I called him ultra honest. That's what I called him. So he got, you know, he worked for the post office, and the latter part of his work with the post office, he worked in an office, and he did audits, and he was always supposed to take someone with him. And his boss was a man, but the others were women. He could not say, "It is my conviction not to be alone with a woman," because that was counted as discrimination. And so we only prayed. In all of the time that he was on that job, he did not have to be alone with a woman. I want to tell you, God will honor your purpose before him and your integrity. He would do the audits. He would travel sometimes on the job. And it was not that I never distrusted him. I trusted him. It was other people I didn't trust. But the Lord had answered prayer so many times and protected him, and that we just expected it every time. So this particular time he was supposed to take the postmasters out to lunch when he would teach these classes. And so he left that morning, and it was a woman postmaster, and he said, "Honey, I do not know how the Lord is going to work this one out." But he did. He came in the evening, and I can still see him. He stepped inside the door and just sort of leaned back up against the door and just crooked his finger for me to come and stand in front of him. Guess how the Lord worked it out. There was another postmaster that wanted to take the class too, and it was a man. God did it so many times. Keep your integrity with the Lord. Watch and pray. What else does it say to watch and pray about? That you enter not into temptation. And what he says to one, he says it to all. This is the message of the hour concerning the work of God. You cannot be effective in the work of God unless you have integrity and honor, that you not enter into temptation. The cares of life. Don't focus. Oh, it's easy to focus on the cares of life and the busyness of life, and we're all there. Busy, the cares of life can just take a hold of your mind almost before you know it. Watch and pray. It's part of the work of God in you. So I said here, I wrote this down, our focus, if it's on the cares of life, it becomes narrow. You begin to focus only on you, what you feel, what you have to do today. Oh, just, that's just all I can say. It becomes more centered on me and mine rather than looking beyond. In the work of God, our vision or our focus in the work must go beyond me. And while I have stressed the work of God being blessed, if you're filling that place as a husband or a wife, or you've made it your personal mission field and you're taking care of those children and you're training them up in the way they should go, but it's something more. Don't lose that vision or that focus by any means. We must not lose that focus of our personal mission. But we have some things for you to consider, and it is something that is said to all of us. There's a scripture that says, and I didn't really write it down, but you know it. Am I my brother's keeper? How can I keep you? How can you keep me? And is that possible? And what does it really mean? There's many ways that we help keep each other. Did you know why the word of the Lord stresses modest apparel? Is modest apparel only for women? It's really for all. We fashion our body in a way that I can help keep you and you can help keep me. You believe that? That's part of the work of God, is being your brother or your sister's keeper. So the second one I'm going to give, again, I don't have the verse written down. I just have written down of the verse. Now, what's the first one? Am I my brother's keeper? The second one is, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's part of the work of God in the church. Oh, I'm not saying it's limited to this perimeter, but I think you'll understand before we're finished. I'm going to link those two scriptures up now with Galatians 6 and 10. As therefore ye have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Now that's said to all of us. But it goes a little bit farther. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Does God particularly care for the household of faith? And does he want us to have a special care for the family of God? It's part of the work of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have a song that we say, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Do you feel an attachment to the family of God? That's part of the work of God. He wants you to help keep your brother and your sister in the way. He wants you to learn, I'm not preaching just to you. I'm preaching to me too. He wants us to learn how to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He wants us to be concerned for those things that concern you. He wants me to be concerned for you, and you be concerned for me. And I see that in the church, don't you? With our little group where we text and ask for prayer, we've never had so many cries out, I'm going to call it that, to one another. I need prayer. And maybe we don't tell exactly what it is, but God knows. And the saints go to prayer. That's bearing each other's burdens. Caring. Now, I've taught the congregation this. Who have I told you to pray for first? Ourselves. When you pray, you must pray for yourself first. Why? There's a reason. If you have anything amiss in your walk, how can you effectively pray for others? Now, I have also suggested you pray for your family, because who will pray for your family like you do? That's not saying that's where you stop. Brother Austin says in one of his messages on prayer, actually it's on divine healing, and he said he was asked the question, why do I see more healings around the family altar than the public altar? And he said, this is the reason. Christ, when he was here, he looked on the multitude with what? Compassion. And healed them. Compassion is a deep feeling of concern and love. And you know what? Those children that are yours, or that family member that is yours, you have a little different love and compassion than I might have for them. And you might call me and say, would you pray for my wife or my whatever in my family? Yes, we will pray. But I'm going to tell you who's going to pray passionately. You will. So first of all, remember to pray for yourself. And then remember, who's going to pray for your family like you do? Because you're going to do it with a passion that is greater than other family in the church. And that's not saying we're not learning to bear one another's burdens. We are. But that's where it will be effective. So learn to pray effectively. And then this says, to all, as you have opportunity, do good. And to all men. So it's not just limited to the family of God. We look for opportunities. That's what this is saying. As you have an opportunity. I would say, and I hope it's not too much of a negative statement, but I've been reading Aunt Margaret's book on Lest We Forget, and I wish that every one of you could read it. I've read it many times, and every time I am challenged and affected. It does not seem like we have the opportunities that they had in that generation. People were much more sensitive, seems like, because that was many years ago. But look for the opportunity to be a light and an example of where God would be calling you to Remember the message we had, I think was it last Sunday, I'm not sure, to be ready to give an answer to those who ask, what is the hope of your calling? And sometimes we're so caught off guard if somebody even comes up and says, what church do you go to? Somebody out there is going to have to see something different in my life to ask me such a question. Lord, help us that we will have an answer for the hope that we have in us. The next little phase of this thought is in Galatians 5 and 13, and it's just the last part of that verse, and it says, by love, serve one another. We're still talking about being our brother's keeper, also bearing the burdens of our brothers and our sisters and fulfilling the law. And we're also considering especially the household of faith. And so we come down to this. Are we to love those in the world? Absolutely. The scripture tells us to love those that hate us, to love those that persecute us and say all manner of evil against us. And our love is tested. That's where we need the love of God in our heart, that we might not sin against God, that we can be that example out there. But what about in here? What about in the church? You think nobody ever gets offended? The word of the Lord says it's impossible but that offenses will come. You're going to be offended by a brother or a sister. You're going to be disappointed sometime. What is behind it? The enemy of your soul. If you receive an offense, it can damn your soul. Did you know that? If you cannot forgive, bitterness will begin to work in your life and many will be defiled. Guard, and I think this could be said to all, guard your heart, guard your thoughts, guard your feelings. When somebody comes and offends you, don't receive it. Give it to God. He knows. He is an avenger. Let Him be the avenger. So be careful. I think it's to all that we must learn how to not give in to offenses. Have I ever been offended? Absolutely. Have you been offended? If we're honest, we will say, yes, I've been offended at a time or two or sometime. Don't let it hang around.
That's right.
Don't let it hang around. Can I testify to you? I bore an offense one time for a long time. I was under false accusation and darkness, and I struggled and fought. And the night before I fell, 2 years ago, Brother Philip and Sister Rosie was at my house. They knew of the offense. They wanted to work with me concerning that. And at the end of our conversation, I said, you know, I can't truthfully say that I forgive. And I can't truthfully say I love. And they left. I'm walking around my backyard thinking of the conversation, and the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, why will you not allow yourself to be defrauded? And And I knew it came from the Lord. And I said, yes, Lord, I will allow that. And I will try to get this straightened up tonight. I tried, but it didn't work. But what happened was forgiveness flooded me. And the love of God flooded me for these individuals. I didn't fight for it. God gave it to me. The next morning, I texted Dan and Cheryl and Philip and Rosie. And I said, I am basking in the grace of God. Maybe an hour later, I fell and altered my life for the rest of my life. But what a consolation it was to know God gave me forgiveness and love when I couldn't do it for myself. Oh, keep your hearts tender and soft toward the things of God and toward the work. This is the work of God in us. So, loving one another and serving one another. You know what it means to serve? It means giving ourselves for the good of others. It is only through, I've written this down because I read it somewhere, left an impression on me. It is only through God's love for us, for me, that I can fully serve and love one another. Make it personal. It is through God's love that He turns our eyes outward and not inward to ourselves. You know, that's what the enemy wants. If you're offended, focus on your offense. God's love can cause you to look away from it, outward. We can then see opportunities to serve those in our midst. What happened the night before Jesus went to the cross? We know. He had what we call the Last Supper. He broke the bread. They didn't understand. He told them they wouldn't understand. But he said, you will. And it sometimes may take a revelation from the Lord to help us to understand when we go to an ordinance service. We sometimes need a little vision of what it represents. That bread that is offered to you is not really His body, see? But it represents His body that was broken for you. And so Jesus said this to His disciples, and actually He said, I don't know how it was exactly, but He said, eat all of it. And maybe He meant, maybe that was said for us, that when I partake of this bread and I receive it, I'm saying, Lord, I take of Your life. And what did He say to the people, to all of the people? He said, eat My flesh. And then He said, drink My blood. And it was so repulsive, some became offended and left. And He turned to some of those. They said, will you go away also? And their answer was, where would we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. I want to tell you, in the work of God, you'll have to eat His flesh. To be effective, you'll have to drink His blood to be effective in the work of God. And so Jesus said it to His disciples. He took the cup. It wasn't His blood. It was the juice. And In that one, he said, drink all of it too. And we don't take the cup and swallow it all down, but we take what it represents, and I'm going to take all that you offer me. You want to be effective in the work of God? Drink his blood. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. So he did this to the disciples, but he went another step. He washed their feet. And they had been traveling and came to a house and somebody washed their feet, but it wasn't for the same reason. This was something that represented a message that has passed down through all of these generations, and it comes down to today. Yes. And so, you know, Peter said, oh, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Your master. If I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part or lot with me. Oh, then, if that's the case, then just wash me off. That was sort of his personality. He went from one extreme to another. But you know what? Afterwards, they understood. Afterwards, they got the message. We are afterwards. And we can see the message is you serve one another in love. I remember one time at Guthrie, and I've told the congregation here this probably many times. We were doing the ordinance service. And as I stood up to walk to the back, the women on one side, the men over in the other dining room, and I'm going to wash the feet of the one I love the least. And I started looking around at the whole group of women. And I couldn't find which one I loved the least. That's how God wants us to be as a family in his work. He's not partial. He doesn't want us to be partial. He doesn't want us to prefer one another above another. I believe the scripture said that was even sin, to be in preference to somebody. So this is the way the Lord is wanting you and me to conduct ourselves in the family of God, is clear your own soul that you may be able to wash one another's feet and love one another and serve one another and forgive one another and not allow any bitterness or unforgiveness to pollute your life and many be defiled. Oh, let us never defile our brother and our sister. Am I my brother's keeper? I am. And you know a way that we can be our brother's keeper? It's not all dress. How many times when we are offended, we want to tell somebody what it was? That's our humanity. That is as much of being human as anything else. But you can be your brother's keeper if you will not tell them your offense. You believe that? Now, am I saying you can't share anything with anybody? No, I'm not saying that. Sometimes we need each other. Yes. Sometimes we need somebody that will listen to us and pray with us and help us. That's still being a brother's keeper. Help me to overcome this. God uses my brothers and my sisters to help me to overcome. And how do I overcome? What does the word says? I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. But if I want to be my brother's keeper, I don't spread these things about other people. It gives them a battle. It gives them, they have to fight. They struggle. So let's keep one another. Final verses. John 13 and 34. A new commandment I give you. Now, if I was putting myself in one of the disciples' places and I had walked with Jesus, I had watched his miracles, I had listened to everything that he said, and then he comes down, and it's not that long before he's going to the cross, and he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. That ye love one another as I have loved you. And they understood what that meant. They felt his love. And afterwards, after he gave his life, and after they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they knew what it meant. They knew that they could love others as he had loved them. But it's verse 35. If we're interested in the work of God, this is where it is. It says, by this shall all men know something's different about you. Yes. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. People will recognize something different. And maybe that'll be the thing that they will ask. Do good to all men, and especially the household of faith. I've ended by saying this is the work of God in the church of God. Much more to it. I'm not sure where it will end. But oh, let's be prepared to work in his kingdom, that his kingdom can be advanced by us and through him. Pray for me.